Message is, "Our God, we thank you." And those words are taken directly from one of the verses that I'll be reading, and wanted to give us a starting point. This is a different approach to the topic of thankfulness, because I want to look at a particular area of God's work for us, and a work that was going on many years ago and is going on in a different way today as well. But an area of thankfulness that I think will be very beneficial to all of us. And I'm going to start with a prayer that is written for us. I'll tell you where it is later, because I want you to hear the words first and be able to concentrate on them. And then as we get into the message, I'll turn there with you and we can read it together. And then I would like to make some connections with areas of scripture that relate to us in our day. In this prayer, it says, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you." And that's where I bring the title. "Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." This is one of the areas of thankfulness and praise that I think is so important in our own lives, to have that kind of approach and to see God for all of those great and wonderful things he does in our life. We're so grateful, too, for the family that we have, for the good things that he provides for us. But I want our focus to be on this direction today, to thanking God for a particular aspect of his work in our life. This is a prayer of King David. And the context of this prayer is the inspiration for the sermon today. And we in the U.S., as you know, we've just had and enjoyed a national holiday called Thanksgiving. It's good that we can do that as a nation sometimes, those of the people around us who actually do that. But David's prayer of praise and thanks to God was in response to a very wonderful blessing and opportunity. And David was so excited at this time when he was offering that prayer. It was such a positive time and a positive experience for him, because offerings for the building of the temple had been gathered, and still were being gathered, but so many offerings had been gathered already for the building of the temple that David was so grateful, was excited. It says he was greatly rejoicing. There truly was a reason for David's thankfulness at that particular time. A little background about the temple, and our focus is going to be on the temple and on the offerings gathered for the temple, this for which David was thankful at that time. The temple was to be the house built for the Lord, as you know. And in 1 Chronicles 22, just a quick background here of David's understanding, what had been revealed to him, what he was so excited to pass off and to the next generation, to his son Solomon, but also to be able to participate in the planning of it himself. In 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5, it says, "Now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it." So David made abundant preparations before his death. You see, I wanted us to connect the building of the temple with David as well as with Solomon. And there's so much there about how that was built and in the years that it took to do that. But now look in chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles and begin in verse 11. We pick up here a little bit more about what God had revealed to David about this temple that would be built. And as you know, David had requested that he would be able to build it. He wanted to be able to have the Ark of the Covenant housed in something more than tents that it had been for all those years since the time of Moses. And so he wanted to build a structure, and God said to him, as you know, "No, you've been too bloody in your life and career, and I will let your son build it and bring a time of peace when the temple could be built by someone who had not been, as David was, a man of war, but it would be built by someone of peace in a time of peace that God would make available." In 1 Chronicles 28:11, we pick it up, and it says, "Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, for all of these things. He gave him the plans." Now, many of you have worked in construction or in other kinds of work where you know that if a big project is to go forward, if it, a big building or a home is to be built, there are plans actually on paper, actually written, actually drawn out, and details given. That was the case for this building of the temple. And I think you'll see as we go that there was a lot of detail that God had given to David, and now David was passing on to others, and especially to Solomon. Then he gave the plans for all the different parts of it and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit. And so these were things revealed to God, what this building would be like, how it would be constructed, with what materials, and with what it would be, how it would be used. And so as we read through this chapter, in chapter 28, we pick it up. So we can scan down and see that there were all the different things by weight for the silver, for the gold, for the bronze, for all of the things that were there. And in verse 19 it says, "In all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing." And so there is evidently some written record that that God had given to him. It says, "By his hand upon me." And from that we might imagine, it doesn't say specifically, but that God had inspired David to the point where he could write these things down in detail and have a written record and perhaps even sketches or drawings of what was to be in this temple. And I think that's very important, because we see David was so excited about this. He could visualize it. He could then pass on that vision to others as they gathered the materials, and not just the, you know, stacks of material, but specific things and for specific purposes. In verse 19 again, "All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing, by his hand upon me, all the works of these plans. And David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. And do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. And he will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the works for the service of the house of the Lord." And then he even divided out the Levites into their different divisions. And all of this inspired by God for King David to understand and to know. Well, we know that that temple was completed. And when it was, fire came down from heaven, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. There's a great story in there, and I'm moving forward into that story now. We know that that temple no longer stands. We know that it represented something even greater, don't we? As great as that building was, we know that we are being built up as a holy temple to the Lord. So what was happening back then merely foreshadowed what is happening today. And for this, for knowing that we are being built into a holy temple, we greatly rejoice and are thankful to God. And I want our direction to be now in the direction of our thankfulness, but looking at what happened and what David said and did back in 1 Chronicles 29. And I'd like to read most of this chapter and then relate it to other sections of Scripture and just tie these things together, because there's some really interesting parallels here about the building of that first temple, the gathering of materials for it, and the gathering of materials for this spiritual temple that is now under construction. There's some very important lessons for us. Today, as we come before God to worship, let's read this inspired narrative that was the reason for David's thankfulness, and draw a few lessons from the work that is already underway of the spiritual temple of God. In 1 Chronicles 29, we begin in verse 1. And what I want to do now is just take it slow and easy, verse by verse, and connect a few of the thoughts with some of the things that we read in the New Testament about the temple being built now. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1, "Furthermore, King David said to all the congregation, 'My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great.'" It is a great work to build a temple. And it was to be a very famous and spectacular building, as we already saw. "Because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God." When we think of the temple, we think of people coming into it to worship. We think of people bringing the sacrifices there. But this temple that was to be built by Solomon was for the Lord God, a place for God to dwell among his people. And I'd like to just equate that and reference it to the temple that is now under construction. So hold your place there, 1 Chronicles 29. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, a very famous verse about the temple now. I think it's a good place to help us begin to make this connection and then to follow it through. In Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." The temple is for God. It's a habitation for God, a place for him to dwell. And I want us to be thankful, brethren, for being part of that, to really give thanks to God that he has brought us together individually and collectively to be part of that dwelling place for God, a holy temple. And in that temple, there are many plans. There are many things like we see in the temple of old. There are different rooms and different materials and all of the different aspects and the decorations of that temple. And the holy temple that is being built now also has many variations of holy things that are there for God, a place for God to dwell in our lives, individually and collectively, and with those of old, those who have come before us and those who will come after us. We're all part of a great holy temple that is being built. And the materials for that temple are being gathered now and fashioned and formed now and for a time when it will be fully completed in the future. Back in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2, "Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, and onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. And all of these things, David had a vision. He had the plans. He had been given the details of what was needed and how it would be used and brought in together to form that building. He said he is prepared with all his might. I like that phrase. I think it applies well to us. And I just want to show you in Colossians 3, just connecting these thoughts. Because as David was inspired and so full of rejoicing and thankfulness about the things that were being gathered, we also can be thankful for some of these things, same things. He expressed them, that he had, with all his might, devoted himself to bringing those things together. In Colossians 3, in verse 23, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men." And in our lives, we should be doing things heartily, with all our might, serving God, letting him form and fashion us into those precious stones and those gold utensils and vessels of honor that he wants in his kingdom, in his temple that is being built. And we should fully participate heartily as to the Lord, serving and learning and growing and overcoming. And like David said, he prepared with all his might. Back in 1 Chronicles 29, now verse 3, he says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God." And I want to focus on that particular area. And then, but let me read the rest of the verse. "Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver." As David was so excited about preparing for this building that he had set his affection on it. It had become like his passion, the thing that he was wanting. That was going to be his legacy more than anything, more than all of the nations around him he'd conquered and the other things. This building, this temple for the Lord, was going to be his legacy. The passion that he put into it was remarkable. He set his affection on the house of his Lord. Let's turn again, hold your place, because we'll be back. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 10. I chose this topic today following the Thanksgiving that we've recently enjoyed because I wanted to help us focus on things to be thankful for in our own life and to see these things and to be so grateful that we can be part of something this big and majestic and grand. In Romans 12 and verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love." David set his affection on the house of God, and we are the house of God. We, the church of God, we are the house of God, and our affection should be there for all of the parts of the house of God. That house called the house of prayer, the house of the Lord, a house that's not divided, but a house that is there for the glory of the Lord. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, to all of those other precious things that are being gathered and put in reserve and fashioned and formed into that which will be the holy temple when it is fully finished, when Christ comes and all of this is put together in his kingdom. We can have that kind of affection for one another and to grow in that way, to have a passion for each other, to be able to see one another as someone precious in the sight of God. Back in that verse in chapter 29 and verse 3 of 1 Chronicles, he said, he's given his own special treasure I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 14 and pick up that thought. Because just as David was so filled with passion about this, so we can be and should be as well. Because we are being called to form the parts of the temple that will far exceed the glory of that first one. In Luke 14, verse 27 and 28, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So David said that he had given his own special treasure himself. He had given everything, including the physical things that he also donated for that project. We give ourselves to the Lord. "Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" And Christ is building this temple, and he is counting the cost. We are being called to be part of it, and we count the cost as we engage with him in this, in our part of the building project that is underway. In verse 33, it says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." We have to give all that we have, ultimately, to be his disciple, to be able to not only count the cost and bear the burden, but forsake all of the physical things that matter around us in a very important sense. We don't give up our homes. We don't give up our livelihood and the things which God has blessed us with. But what we do forsake all is our way of life, our passion of what it is, our goal in life. And we have many goals that are necessary, but we have that overarching goal of seeking first the kingdom of God, of being there and finding an entrance into that kingdom and being part of that temple and being built up as a holy temple. And to do that, we have to forsake all of the fleshly pursuits of this world that would distract us from being part of that temple. We need to be passionate. We need to have much invested of our own lives. We see in, for instance, in Romans chapter 12, in Romans 12, the example of Paul here as he's beseeching us to do as David did. In Romans 12, verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." You know, our treasure is our time, our life, our devotion to God, our devotion to one another, our love. "That we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And see how we present ourselves when the materials for the temple were being gathered together. That's what David was so happy about. When he saw the enthusiasm for the nation of Israel as they began to bring the gold and silver and wood and all the other things together, that we present ourselves to God too for the building of a holy temple. And we do it in a way that we are a living sacrifice, fully and totally committed to him. I'm sure we could all think of ways that we have done just that. We heard of Paul as he gave up much of his life. He was on the path to a great career in Judaism, but he gave it all up so that he could seek something greater, something more, when he realized that he was being called to bring a sacrifice to God too, himself, a living sacrifice, which he did so well and set a great example for the church to follow. As we imitate him as he imitates Christ, who also gave so much. Let's turn back in 1 Chronicles 29 and pick up more of this flavor of passion and emotion that David was showing to us in verse 5. And the gold for the things of gold, and silver for the things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? To consecrate ourselves. And that's where we read of doing just that, when in Romans 12, verse 1 that we just read, that we present ourselves to the Lord. We consecrate ourselves in that way, devoting our lives to him in a way that helps us to be that living sacrifice. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord, to commit our life that way? And we are all on that journey, that pathway toward something so big and so grand. We commit our lives to him. In verse 6 it says, then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the officers of the king's work, offered willingly. And our lives, which are given as a living sacrifice, should be given in a willing way. Just as the people here were offering willingly for the building of that physical temple that was such a great building, famous in all the world at the time. It's 2 Corinthians 9. We see about willing offerings. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 15, it's a section, we may not read all of it here. In verse 6 it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as his purposes in his heart, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And when we're speaking of giving ourselves as a living sacrifice, again, as a gathering of materials for the great temple to be built, that we can do that willingly, gladly give our lives in devotion to God, in the way we live our lives and pursue our lives, and engage in the work that he is doing to help spread this word and this blessing to many other people. And to be able to give thanks for even the opportunity to offer ourselves to God. What a great blessing that is, to be thankful for that. And continuing in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. And we do that in our physical lives. We have so much to share in this country and so many people to share it with. But we're talking here on a spiritual level too, that we have so much to give for every good work. You know, I don't want to draw attention to myself, because we're just one of thousands and many thousands who God has called, and we do give up so much. As we read in the scriptures about what Moses gave up in order to be part of that great plan of God, as what Paul gave up in order to be part of it, is what we give up too. And Nancy and I gave up a lot in order to follow in this work that God has called us to, gladly and thankfully. But we gave up our business. We gave up a home that we had planned to live in until we retired, I mean, until beyond retirement. We gave up living near our own children and Nancy's parents. We gave up a retirement. We gave many things, not grudgingly, but in thanks, that we could come and serve God, because what is so much more important is what is yet to come. I'm only using that to illustrate that we all have passion for this way, and we all do make sacrifices to be able to help others around us and to be able to be brought together in a great assembly of parts for the temple that Jesus Christ is building. In verse 15 it says, Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So here in this section, Paul is talking about things that we do willingly and giving up, and how that helps others around us, and it truly does. And at the end of this section, he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Being thankful for even being able to give in this way, to be able to offer something that's so helpful to other people. And we see this back in 1 Chronicles 29, because the people rejoiced because they had offered willingly. Look at this very important point, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. There was a loyal heart that they offered their material things in that way. A loyal heart. And this brought such joy to the king who was there with them. On that point, turn to Romans chapter 6. In Romans 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked. And again, see, it's back on the thanking of God. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And so often in the writings of Paul and others, as we saw and heard in the first message, there's this thankfulness for the work that God was doing in his people. And being thanked, that being thankful for the fact that though we were slaves of sin, look at what God is now making us to be. These precious elements that would be used in his temple. In Luke chapter 10, we see that another king rejoiced in a similar way. This king being Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 10, in the section where he had sent his disciples out to share in the work that he was doing, to minister to others and to bring good things to them. And they came back and they were so excited because miraculous things had been done. And they were finding success in helping others around them. And Christ himself rejoiced. In Luke 10, verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, and here we see another prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving and praise. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. So if we can see that kind of gratitude, that kind of thankfulness that the king has, we saw the example of David, we see it here in Jesus Christ, when people respond and contribute and grow. And all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. And he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things which you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. And we are so blessed, brethren, to see that we are being called to be part of that great temple. We are able to have a part in the work that is preparing for it too, as the disciples were. And as things happen that are good, then our King rejoices when we are also successful in his word. I want to turn back now and read the words, and you can look on your page and see them as we see this prayer of David, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. And I'll read through it and then come back and pick up a few highlights. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregations, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you have exalted as and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and all is your own. And I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. And he goes on with his prayer. What a great prayer. What a great reason to pray. A great way to be thankful to God. This is a special lesson for us, brethren, I think, that David was giving thanks to God, and not for what God had given to him and to the nation, but because they had been able to give an abundant offering to God. The thankfulness was in return, in a way that lifts the gratitude even higher, to be thankful that we can offer to our God that way. Just look and see that again in verse 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? Brethren, we can be thankful that we can offer so willingly to God, that we can offer our lives to him, that he allows us to do that even. And there's so many verses that we can put this to see the perspective of Jesus Christ. I'd like to just look in John 17 as he was praying to the Father. John 17, a couple of verses here, but how our King sees us. John 17, verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So we are like the treasures that God gave to Jesus Christ. He gave us to Christ, and Christ is bringing us to him and shaping us into this temple. In verse 9 it says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for these whom you have given me, for they are yours. And in a sense, we are the reason for the rejoicing of Jesus Christ, who can look and see this great offering that's being prepared and gathered for that temple that's yet to come. There's a prayer for the people here in verse 11. As David had prayed for the people there, and here in John 17 and verse 11, Christ prays, Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father, and keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. And David was soon to die. He knew that. This was at the end of his lifetime. And it was shortly after this gathering and the things that we read in chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles that he actually died. He passed the kingship on to Solomon, and that was the end of David's physical life. But there was a loyal heart, and there was a willingness. And brethren, all through this prayer and through this whole experience of David, we can see that he rejoiced greatly, and he gave praise to God. And he praised and thanked God for the things that were able to be given by the people. And we can thank and praise God because we, like living stones, are being gathered to build that holy temple. We are those precious stones that Christ is gathering now. And we started with a prayer, and there were prayers in the first message of thanksgiving as well. I'd like to end with a prayer in Philippians chapter 1. As we see the prayer of the Apostle Paul for those he served, how he saw them, very much in the same vein of thinking that we see in David's prayer for the people. Think of this with your name and the name of others who are here in our congregation and others we know in the church around the world. In Philippians 1 and verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, brethren, those are things that I am also thankful for. When I see you and know what Christ is doing in your life, and know that you are those precious stones and gold and silver being gathered for that temple, I rejoice too to be part of this and part of it with you. There are so many things to be thankful for, but let's always keep in mind those great things that mean so much not only to us, but to Jesus Christ and to our Father.